Well, before we start, I think, did somebody have something to say to me? I am what the Word of God says I am. I have what the Word of God says I have. I will be what the Word of God says I will be. I can do what the Word of God says I can do. And I have God's favor in my life. Yo soy lo que la palabra de Dios dice que soy. Yo tengo lo que la palabra de Dios dice que tengo. Yo seré lo que la palabra de Dios dice que seré. Yo puedo hacer lo que la palabra de Dios dice que puedo hacer. Y yo tengo el favor de Dios en mi vida. Give yourselves a hand. I think it's good. I think it's good that you take the time to talk like that. Turn to John chapter 11. The biggest thing in my heart today and this last week has been the greatest thing that you could ever do. There's only one thing that's the greatest. There's a lot of great things, but there's only one thing that's the greatest. What is the greatest thing that you can do as a human being? You know the answer to that? To believe. To believe. That's right. When all is said and done, and your life is over on this earth, no matter how it ends, for you to look back and be able to say, I believed, that is the greatest thing that you'll ever be able to do. I believed. You'll be able to look back through all the turmoil of your life and say, I believed. You'll be able to look back through all the happiness in your life and you'll be able to say, I believed. You'll be able to look back through all the worry and doubt and despair that popped in and out throughout your life and you'll be able to say, I believed. To believe is the greatest thing that you could ever do. Because it starts a process, an unending process, that will take you through eternity. Eternity never ends. So I believe is eternal. And for you to be able to stand and say, I believe, you have eternally blessed your life. In John chapter 11, we read about Lazarus. And there are many, many stories in this story. There's many things to talk about from this. We're going to see about believing. We're going to see an example of Jesus Christ showing the world about life after death, epitomizing life after death. The I believe syndrome, it's contagious. And it's something that you must keep at the forefront of your mind, no matter what you go through. Life has its ups and downs. That doesn't matter. What matters is that you believe. We all wish that we could have eternity now, don't we? But we can't. But we can believe. So to say, I believe, is the greatest thing you could ever do. It doesn't matter what you go through. It doesn't matter what your friends go through. Doesn't matter what your family goes through. What matters is that you believe. John chapter 11, verse 1. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany. Bethany is about 2 miles outside of Jerusalem. You know how far 2 miles is? From here up to Inner Voice. Any of y'all ever driven up Waterview up there to Inner Voice? That's 2 miles. He was sick. The town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. But Jesus wasn't in Bethany. He went somewhere else. He was somewhere else. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. This whole situation transpired so that God could be glorified and that the Son of God might be glorified. You know, you have to ask yourself, wow, why? It's according to God's plan. You will never be able to explain God, but you can always read His word to people. You can always read the word to yourself. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. That's quite a statement. He loved them. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. So he knew when Lazarus was sick, and Lazarus had been sick for a while. But at this point, it tells what he did. Then after that saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. Now they had left Judea because people were already trying to kill him. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Well, his disciples were thinking Jesus was saying, well, he's just sleeping. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And the different words used for death in this section are, one of them is thanatos, which means death, the state of death. And there's another one here, Lazarus is dead. It means slain. And he had to pick a different word, and then they got the picture. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Because if he had been there, he would have simply healed him. Okay? But he says, I'm glad. Now, Jesus knew the bigger picture. The disciples didn't. So you can see something's building. To the intent ye may believe. What's the greatest thing you could ever do? To believe. Well, Jesus knew that. And he said, to the intent ye may believe. You can't do any greater thing for another person than to help them believe. And you can't do a greater thing for yourself than to believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, and I got a kick out of this, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Oh, you know, there's no such thing as a perfect life on this earth. Jesus didn't have it. Now, he was the greatest leader man has ever seen. And he's still the greatest leader. Yet he was tormented by these guys. So when you look for perfection in anything in this world, you're really going down the wrong road. You will not find perfection in marriage. You will not find it in friendship. You will not find it in your jobs. You won't find it in family. The only perfection that there is with God and His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus had to deal with imperfection from others, from this world. And Thomas is a great example of that. Let us also go that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 2 miles, 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, and Mary sat still in the house. There's a whole story about Martha and Mary and and all that. It's quite fun to entertain it. Verse 21, then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if you'd been there, my brother wouldn't have died. Well, duh. Jesus knew that too, but he just explained that to the disciples. Verse 22, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Now, maybe Martha knew a little bit of the bigger picture too. I don't know. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. So you see how the resurrection is being taught here? But even greater, if you believe, you have eternal life. That applies to us. That's what the story of Lazarus is all about. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. She believed. And when she had so said, she went her way. When you believe, you may go your way. You've already done the greatest thing you'll ever do. Feel free to go your way when you believe. She did. And called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but she was in that place where Martha met him. You know, we already read that Jesus loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, and that was agape. That was serious love. That was serious commitment to their well-being. And Martha and Mary knew that Jesus loved them. Whatever had transpired in their lives, they knew that. And there was a closeness there. Jesus had to live through this love experience in the midst of these trials and tribulations. In my opinion, the greatest thing lacking in this world today is love. It is so hard to find. People do not love each other much at all anymore. And it's a real tragedy. My wife and I talk a lot about this because we're confronted with it in our work situations and other situations. But people don't love. They don't care about love. They're hard. They're hurt. They don't love. But Jesus did, and he provides a great example to us that we can persevere in love no matter what the odds. We can continue loving people. We can continue being loving no matter what we're up against. And it might seem futile. It might seem a waste of time, but it never is a waste of time. I'm always amazed at the tiny squeak that love makes in the midst of the horrible noise of the world. But you know something? It's a squeak that goes throughout eternity. It's a noise. It's a call that goes around the world because of its power, because of its significance. People live in their own lives. They walk their own walks. They walk away from love and they walk away from God's word. But that still does not change the truth, the power of the word itself. The word will always work. It will always do its thing. No matter what you're up against, and no matter how hard the world and the people of the world seem, the word still will do its thing. It has life in and of itself. The quietness of the word rebounds. Every time you speak it, it will always come back with profit. It never returns void, and that's because of its own inherent life. And so we must believe that. We must understand that the Word has life, the Word always works, and love greases the track. And so we have to keep it moving. The world says shut up. The word says speak out. The world says be hard. The word says love. As you apply the word in your life, you will see it work. Never doubt that it will work. Believe. That's the greatest thing that you could ever do. Verse 30, now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house, and comforted her when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out and followed her, saying, she goeth into the grave to weep there. They figured that's what she was going to do, because Martha told her secretly, remember? She whispered it. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. Oh, she said that all right, but what she did in her actions was even greater. She humbled herself. Humility is missing in the world today. If you ever want to see God work in your life, you have to humble yourself before Him. You have to remove your hardness and your mightiness. You have to humble yourself and not be afraid to accept His guidance, His leadership, His word. That's all part of saying, I believe. Verse 33, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. It really hurt him. And said, where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. He was so hurt by this. He loved them so much. It tore him up. He just couldn't hold it back. Jesus wept. To see somebody at this point of emotion is rare. Practically impossible. Our world has grown so hard, so unloving, so calloused, so mighty, that people don't even know how to express their emotions anymore. Oh, I know you do. And you expect others to, but they don't know how to, because they've been raised in a whole different way. But Jesus, in the midst of the world, was not held back by the world. He wept. He manifested his emotions because they were natural. They were normal, and they were quite apropos. Verse 36, then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. To see this kind of love today would be the wealthy experience. It would give you a sense of grandeur. But you could bring that wealth and that grandeur into other people's lives by loving them, no matter what the odds. Behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? You see what he was up against? Just ignore it. Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. See how humble he was? And I knew that thou hearest me always. See how he believed? But because of the people which stand by, I said, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. This was the greatest thing he could ever do for those people. Oh, sure, to bring Lazarus back to life was great for Lazarus, but Lazarus didn't have to believe for that. But these other people needed to believe. And so when and where you can give such examples like this to people, it will help them believe. And Jesus knew that. And when he had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth! He cried with a loud voice. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him, and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. God had Lazarus raised from the dead through the work of Jesus Christ so that people could believe, because it was the greatest thing he could do for people. Jesus knew it, and so did God. God knows that if you believe, your destiny is sealed. Your fate is sealed, whatever you want to call it. You are heaven bound and then new earth bound, and there's nothing that could ever prevent that. Your life will be revolutionized one day. You go through things today, you're just going to go through things in life. That's the way it is, be they good or bad. Our focus should never be on that. Our focus should be on that we believe. We've all made it this far, and so we're going to go a little bit further, okay? But let's all believe together. Let's never let the world erode that great truth that we believe. When all is said and done and you stand back in that one glimpse of time, and glance throughout your life, you'll be so proud of one thing, that you stand there boldly and say, I believe. That's all you have to say. I believe. You believe in Christ. You've confessed Romans 10:9 and 10. You're a Christian. You believed. That's the greatest thing you could do. God knows it. Jesus Christ knew it. And now you know it. And if you ever want to help anybody, you look them straight in the eye and say, the greatest thing you could ever do is not your job. It's not your schooling. It's not your marriage. It's not your kids. It's not your friends. It's not your travels. It's not all of your great works. It's one thing and one thing only, believe. And that's why we have the story of Lazarus. And I trust you never forget that. Because if it's the greatest thing that you could ever do, it's also the greatest thing you could ever think. It's also the greatest thing you could ever feel. It's also the greatest thing you could ever dream. So take it with you wherever you go and live your life with confidence, knowing one thing above everything else, that you believe. Okay? That's the end of that.